a historic day for virtual reality as we take the fourth dimension and move it over to the third. This is episode number 771 of The Next Step, March 30th, 2023.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to a 15th season of The Next Step podcast with Father Vazgen. With these podcasts, Father Vazgen provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord, Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte. So we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
What is going on over here? What is going on? I know that's what you're thinking. That's what you're asking. Certainly, that's what you're writing to me about. What is going on? I'd like to know, too. Yes, this is the second time this year, 2023, that we have missed The Next Step. Now, when I say second time in the year, yes, second time in the year, but it's also the second time in 15 years, in 15 years that we have missed The Next Step. And I could make a million excuses, but this one, you know what? And I will. I'll make you a million excuses. But this one's a good one, okay? I lost my voice. And I'm still recovering from it. You might be able to tell. It's kind of nasally. But last weekend, we had the Reclaim Conference. And if you've been following along what we've been doing with the Reclaim Conference, this year we dedicated to, of all things, ironically, The Voice. Reclaiming a voice, reclaiming the voice of Christianity, reclaiming the voice of the church, reclaiming the voice of the youth, and so on and so on. And so I was very excited to host this one. This was the 7th annual Reclaim Conference. It was on Saturday, March 25th. And there I was, ready to go for it. And I'm in charge. I'm giving the keynote address. And 2 days earlier, it's our day to record The Next Step on that Thursday, and there's no voice. There was no voice. Nothing was coming out. And I was struggling with something going on in my sinus. What do they say? Ear, throat, nose specialists. I should have seen one of those at that time, but I didn't. And so I got to the Reclaim Conference on Saturday with need for amplification. I needed a microphone to help me out, which I had. And I got through it. I got through it. But again, Next Step became the sacrifice. So this is like two times this year. It makes me kind of think, like, are we overdoing it, especially with the amount of content that we've been pumping out on epostle.net. I mean, every day we have a daily broadcast, podcast. Every day we have all kinds of commentaries going on here and there. We have our weekly Bible study. We have our weekly Giragi session. And at the same time, we're trying to cultivate some new programming, one of which, I'll tell you about it in a few minutes when we get into the Reclaim. Two of the speakers, actually three of the speakers who are on the lineup for future Epostle Ministries, had presentations, and very nicely done. So I'll share that with you coming up. But I apologize. I apologize that The Next Step, after 15 years, twice this year, we were unable to produce it. But today, now 2 weeks after the last Next Step, we're taking a new step. And I've got some great stuff for you today. First of all, talk about some very big history that we are now creating. How's that for a starter? That's what I was going to talk about last week. And then, of course, I'll have a chance to recap what we did at Reclaim. But let me start off on the historical moment that we're living through right now. So last week, something very unusual happened. And tragically, it was the result of a tragedy because a very dear lady, a member of our Bible study named Melina, she passed away at age 65. Tragic because her life had just began, so to speak, because she had just retired and was diagnosed with cancer. And it was a pretty fast ending to a very beautiful life. And I don't need to go through the details except to say that her loss was a big one. She was just a spiritually alert woman. In fact, so much so that at my Bible studies, on a few occasions, I've asked her even to substitute for me when I was unable to get to the Bible studies on Monday nights. And in so doing, she endeared herself to the members of the Bible study, people who didn't know her. Now, let me back up a little bit. Our Bible studies, ever since COVID started, have gone online. So our Bible studies are virtual. And because of the virtual nature, because we are able to produce these Bible studies online, it started getting an attraction from people here and there. Obviously, we started off with the local community because of the shutdown during COVID-19. We went to a Zoom environment, but hey, Zoom is not confined by geography. Internet is not confined by geography. And before we knew it, we had people that were joining us not only from the local Southern California area, but throughout the United States. And then, of course, we got a big group that came in from Australia, and primarily because the timing works out. Okay, the people, when we do our Bible studies Monday evenings, you got to remember the European group is in the middle of the night for them. They're out. And then Armenia and the group that we have from the Middle East, they're like in the very wee hours of the morning. And in Armenia, you know, nobody wakes up till 10 or 11 in the morning. So that was out of the question. But Australia, we had jackpot over there. And we've got a wonderful group that comes in from Australia. So we've been doing these Bible studies virtually. And Melina was a member of it from Los Angeles. She, a bright lady that we had the good fortune of knowing for the last 25 years when our kids were in the same classroom. And we rekindled a new friendship because of the Bible study. She started coming. And as I said, after having a few chances to speak with her and everything, felt very comfortable about asking her to run the Bible studies. And in so doing, all of a sudden she had a fan base. Now here's the bit of history that we come into. Monday night before last, that would be March 20th, that Monday night, we had our regular Bible study. And we had the regular group. I'd say we have about 25, 26, 27 cameras that are on. And several cameras have a few people on there. So, you know, we're in like the 30s or 40 people. And we were getting toward the conclusion. And that day, my wife, Susan, wasn't on the Bible study. She had a few other things going on. It seems like we always do over here somewhere. And I never forget it, but I was concluding the Bible study and I'm on my Zoom and she came into the room and was whispering something to me. So I put everybody on mute. I said, 1 second. And she gave me the news that Melin had passed away. And I don't know, I went into shock because just a day earlier we had been with her, we had gone to the hospital, we had prayed with her, and actually the night of her death, of her passing, our Bible study topic happened to be about prayer. It was following the Sunday of the Judge, and we were talking about the necessity to pray. And the lesson that I had planned was that, you know, let's get off of this idea of believing that prayer is somehow a list that we give to God, as if God doesn't know what our needs are. Jesus says it very specifically. Your Heavenly Father already knows what your needs are before you even ask. And so it's very obvious that the point of prayer is not just merely the conversation with God, but it's also a conversation with ourselves, because if he knows, then who's the one factor that doesn't know? We are the missing factor in that equation. We don't know. That sounds awkward. You say, well, of course I know what my needs are. And think about that for a moment. Do you really know what your needs are, what your necessities are, as opposed to what your wants are? Different from your want, right? What I need and what I want are two different things. I liken the want list to what we give Santa Claus. This is what I want. And we sometimes mistaken God for Santa Claus. Again, that sounds bizarre to a lot of people. Like, okay, is this like some kind of a mythology? What are you guys talking about? No. I'm being very distinct, very real in this assessment. A lot of times we come up with a list and we say, these are the things that I want, God. And just like Santa Claus, who gives us a promise that if you're good, I will reward you. And if you've been bad, if you've been naughty, I'll make sure that you get a punishment too. We think that God does the same with us too. If you've been naughty, he won't give you what you want. If you've been good, you get what you want. You know, and so we have this prayer mythology built into Christianity. And it's unfortunate because the letdown is tremendous, tremendous. And many people are let down. And so we were talking about the entire idea of prayer and that it shouldn't be this kind of a list, that God already knows what our needs are. And we'd been praying for Melina, and just a day earlier, or 2 days earlier, I was in the hospital. I was with her family. We prayed, and there was a lot of talking and interaction. The day after, my wife Susan, had gone over and spent time there in the hospital. So we were not, we knew that this was a very serious situation, but we were not expecting that it would end this quickly. And actually, we had a lot of hope that it wouldn't have ended at this point. And so in the midst of all this talk, Susan comes into the room that evening and says, Melina has passed away. And I had this, as I have many, many times, have this unpleasant responsibility of passing along bad news to people. And I had to pass along that news to the Bible study group. And here's what happened. When I tell you that this was a historic moment, and this is documented thanks to, because we record our Zoom sessions, people broke down. People broke down. I'm looking at a screen of all these different faces, and people were in shock. People were crying. People were in disbelief, and we broke down, as you would assume people would do when they find out somebody close to them has passed away. If you've been in the receiving end of such news, you know that it comes unexpectedly, and you know that you cannot control those emotions that come from you. And there it was. It was on the screen, and it was coming out. So what's the history about? This is, I think the historic value of this is we actually saw a community, a Christian community, that was now reacting to its bit of tragedy, to its bit of difficulty. And this is unique because, you know, we always talk about Christianity as being this collective, about being this networking, about being, there is no such thing as the single Christian. You have to be part of a community. And we always think of communities in the three-dimensional sense or four-dimensional sense that, you know, it exists. But here we were on this two-dimensional screen, and every one of us on that screen, well, except for me, because I know most of the people in a different way. I know some of them personally and so on. But for the most part, all the participants on this come together once a week, and they are the community of believers. They are the church that is now has this unique position of being three-dimensional, but that third dimension isn't the depth, but is the time. So they exist in two dimensions on the screen, but also exist in time. And that what we refer to, if you're a three-dimensional character listening to this, what we refer to as the fourth dimension, time, on a virtual reality or on a screen, that time element, that time dimension is really your third dimension. So you have two dimensions. You have the screen, which is two-dimensional, and we know each other two-dimensionally, but the third dimension is time. And because of that time, here we go. Because of that dimension of time, we now go beyond that two dimensions. In other words, we now have emotions in there too. And it was playing out in front of us. So I think the historic value of this meeting and this event, what Melina brought to the table, was that, yes, we can now have a community that's virtual. A community that doesn't have to be there physically next to one another and still reap all the benefits of a physical community. And this is something that I had never thought that would happen. I always thought that there was some distance. And I've been doing this for the last 40 years in different respects. From the earliest days when we were manufacturing small little videos for Sunday school students, it was still something that was up on the screen and apart. Like you couldn't really interact, but now we are interacting. And so that element of time, that third dimension, the time dimension now comes into it. And because of time, we now have these emotions that are coming out. So for that moment, it was a revelation for me. Yes, in all the sadness, but also it meant that our church has now evolved into a new stage of existence, one where we have to address that. It's very real, because there's emotions that are going on. Up until that day, I would say that most people thought that, you know, a Bible study on Zoom or an interaction or church on Zoom is basically a novelty kind of thing. You can take or leave it. But no, you can't take or leave it. This is very much a part of us. And so we've now met twice ever since. And we're talking about how to deal with the funeral reality, about having the 40th day to be done virtually. And it is a new dimension, a new era, so to speak. And I'm very excited, because I shared with you a few weeks ago that I had just started dabbing into artificial intelligence. And now with this, I'm just really feeling like the way I did back 30 years ago, 35 years ago, when we were just dabbing into the internet and seeing what the possibilities are out there. What are the possibilities for our church? Something that's been very important to me. And now I thank God that we have the apostle ministry, because we can explore exactly that. Melina was a beautiful lady inside and out. She leaves two sons, grown men, who are just fantastic people. We're with her to the end. When I say with her, we're actually with her. We did not walk away from any part of it. And we wish their family all the best as they deal with this really tragic ending. But there was the glimmer of light is that she was an incredible believer, somebody who believed and trusted God. And we trust God that in his infinite wisdom and in his infinite love as our creator, he has compassion and he takes care of even the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. And we know that he's taking care of Melina. And there's no more pain, no more suffering for her. And we console ourselves with these words. But in the end, in the big grand scheme of things, we know it is all of our direction. And so it's important that we reconcile with the notion of death. One of the hardest things I have as a priest, I think, with the Middle Eastern culture, I don't want to say Armenian culture, but with the Middle Eastern culture that seeps into our lives, and that is this denialism. There have been many times, and I've spoken with other priests too, I know it's a common thing among the Middle Eastern, you'll get into a deathbed situation where you'll have people on their deathbed and they're basically on their way out and they need this opportunity to feel at ease, to have the comfort of the gospel, to know that their transition is one that is ordained by God. And instead you'll have the family, please don't tell them that they're dying, like as if they don't know, you know. And it's tragic. It really is tragic because they're denying these people a very important part of that process, of that dying process. But that's a story for another day. For today, Melina will be missed. It opens the door for us to start thinking about where we are as a church in the broader scale, not only the physical reality, but also the virtual church that we are creating. So with that, let me take a break right now. I'm going to come back and talk to you about Reclaim. And actually, there are a lot of takeaways from what we just spoke about right now and a lot of connections with the Reclaim process. And I'll start off with a beautiful story of the no dumb moment, okay? Here is today's selection, what we call the Song of the Week. Enjoy. Of course, the voice is Cat Stevens, today referred to as Yusuf Islam. Cat Stevens, off of an album, 1975, called Numbers. This is the song called Home, and kind of appropriate for what we've been talking about today. And I think if you've followed the lyrics, you might think so too. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes, not only to Cat Stevens' music, but also to this album, Numbers. This was the ninth album that Cat Stevens had done. I was a big fan. We were a big fan, my sister and I, back in the 70s when he came out. And this was the ninth album, studio album, that he had done. But what was unusual about this album was that it was a concept album. And the entire concept was that, if I remember right, it was a group of people that were dispensing numbers into the universe. Pretty wild. Anyway, I will have a link on today's show notes to the wiki article about this, and I invite you to read it. It's nice. It reminded me a lot of Melina, what she left with us, what she gave us, and the dispensing her goodness, her love for God. And she leaves this world, thanks to her, I want to say many of us are just better off for having to know her. And that's not a bad deal, to leave this earth knowing that you have left something beautiful behind you. God rest her soul. I'll have links on today's show notes to this beautiful music as well. So last Saturday, in the midst of not having a voice, I hosted a Reclaim conference, the seventh annual one of these, and the topic was reclaiming a voice. And ironically, I didn't have a voice that day; I had lost my voice. But thanks to modern technology, and not that modern, in other words, amplification systems and beautiful speakers, I was able to get through the day. And we have videos of it, and hopefully one day we'll be able to put it up. Hopefully in the next few weeks, while I'm recouping from some stuff, I think I'll be able to sit down and kind of organize some of this material. But here's the deal. It was called About a Voice, and I started the entire conference with a keynote address referring to a moment in Jesus's ministry, which sounds rather awkward, and what we refer to in the English language as a no-duh moment. No-duh. What is no-duh? No-duh is like stating the obvious, right? And you say something, you go, no-duh. You know, like, hey, look at the horizon. That's the sun over there. No-duh. Yeah, of course. In Armenian, there's a counterpart to it. It's similar, but it's more of a question. It goes, "Haba inchpis," like, what other way is there? Like, if that's not the sun, well, what else is it? In Eastern Armenian, it's reduced to "ba vonts." Of course, inchpis is vonts, and "haba" becomes the "ba vonts," and it's a very common expression in Armenia. "Ba vonts," like what else? How else do you think it is? You're going to be going from Los Angeles to Armenia. Are you flying there? "Ba vonts," like what do you mean? Of course, no duh, yeah, of course. That's how I'm going to get there. And so I use this as the metaphor by which we entered into the story of the voice, because there is a beautiful story in John chapter 5, one that I fell in love with as a young deacon, because it is part of the healing, what we call the Gospels of Healing. So we have a small little portion of the morning service where sometimes we do, unfortunately it's actually written in where it's supposed to be done, when it's supposed to be done, but it sometimes becomes at the whim of the priest. I've really feel fortunate, because during my formative years I had the opportunity to serve with a Vartabed from Jerusalem, Father Arshak Khachadurian. And on Sundays, we would actually do the healing gospel. And one of the healing gospels comes to us from John chapter 5. And when I say when we do it, there's a whole process that's involved in it. But one of the stories comes to us from John chapter 5, in which there is a man who is suffering 38 years, and he is at this pool at Bethsaida. He is at this pool, which is called the healing pool. And basically, the tradition is that an angel of the Lord would come down from the heavens every now and then and would stir the waters. And the first person to jump into the water would be healed of their infirmity, of any problems that they have, leaving absolutely no marks. This is what the gospel says. The gospel narrative, John the Evangelist writes it this way, okay? So whoever jumps in, that's what happens. He is healed, and there's no trace of the illness. And there is this man who has been suffering for 38 years, and he comes to this pool every day. 38 years. And Jesus walks up to him and goes, "Do you want to be healed?" Now, if there's ever been a no-duh moment, this is it. I mean, what kind of question is that? Do you want to be healed? Of course. Like, yeah, what else am I doing? Why do you think I'm rolling over here? Sorry. But yeah, I'm paralyzed. How else am I getting here? They come and they drop me off here every day. And I'm next to this pool, and he says it in the narrative. He says it to Jesus, "Lord, I'm waiting for the waters to be stirred, and because I am so slow, someone else before me jumps into this water and is healed." Jesus asked this man, "Do you want to be healed?" "Well, no, duh. Yeah, but I won't. So what are you talking about?" So if Jesus knows that this man wants to be healed, and because nothing escapes Jesus, and it would be awkward to say no duh to him, and since he knows what's going on, we know that he knows, why does he ask him this? And that's the premise of reclaiming a voice. In other words, that voice is important. The necessity for us to articulate what we have in mind, is very, very important. It's important to be a voice, to say what's going on in your life. And so Jesus asked, "Do you want to be healed?" The man had to say it. So many times we come to that question ourselves. We know what the problem is. We think God knows those problems are, but we do not make that extra step. We don't take that extra step of going out there and putting it out there, of articulating it. Yes, I want to be healed. I've been trying all this time, but it hasn't been working. I want to be healed. And by saying that, you're now accepting the situation, but even more, you're understanding that there is a solution at hand, one which also involves you and involves God's presence within you. God's presence within you, just as Jesus went up to this man and said, "Rise, rise, right now, rise." Now, the story, of course, you all know, whether you read it or not. Why would it be in the Bible? You read it because there is what we call today a miracle. The man stands up and he starts walking. And of course, today in modern medicine, we would say 38 years, he hasn't used those muscles. After he would have stepped in, it's not possible. We start picking it apart. We start picking it apart for what it can or what cannot be, rather than understand the importance of this articulation of talking and turning it over to God, and then this man rising. So I use that as the premise for reclaiming a voice. And we had several speakers that day. We had somebody from the Deacon's Council. We had a chaplain, a fascinating young man who works at the diocese, actually. He's been affiliated with the diocese for several years. And his background is in theology. And most recently, he has earned his credentials to be a chaplain within the hospital. Now, listen to this. He spoke about the voice of the voiceless, reclaiming a voice for the voiceless. And you think about it, and we always think about those people who are repressed. We think about those people who are the silent ones in our midst, the homeless, the people who are struggling, the ones without means. But what he did is he used this metaphor of what he sees in the hospital and then linked it to the people that we might think about. In other words, he goes into hospital rooms where there are voiceless people. He goes into hospital rooms where there are people who are assumed to be voiceless or at least senseless. How about that? Yeah, that they are beyond their senses. And he spoke about the necessity for us to be there and to articulate and to speak with them. So it was just a fascinating talk. His name is Diran Avakian. And I'm mentioning this because the talks are not yet up on the website. But when you come back to this, next step, you'll be able to see it probably in the next few weeks. So we are at the end of March. It's only been 6 days since then. So we haven't processed everything. Probably in the next couple of weeks, you'll be able to see this. But I would strongly advise that you come and listen to some of these lectures. We had, after Dinan, we had a young lady, Savannah. We had Dikran from the Deacons Council. We had two deacons, Nareg and Mike. And this is what I was sharing with you earlier, that these we're trying to prepare them for a show under the Apostle banner, a regular show where two deacons of the church are out there talking about issues that pertain to youth, that pertain to people in general, like what's going on over there. So this is a fascinating beginning. And along those same lines, we have another young lady named Susanna. She actually was part of the reclaim process as far as bringing it all to an end. She gave us the summary and the takeaways. Susanna, another name to listen for, she'll be joining the Apostle Network hopefully soon with a podcast of her own, hopefully within the next few weeks. But it may take a little bit longer, but we're very hopeful on all of these new shows. And then we had the youth group that the ACYO that got up and spoke, and they shared some things that, yeah, you know, you kind of expect that, young people. I was hoping a little bit more. I was hoping that they would kind of like push the envelope, but they didn't, and it's okay. It is what it is, and it's not my expectation, but it's about what the kids felt at that moment, and that's what they did. So the second portion of Reclaim involved the screening of Amerigazi, the movie. You know Michael Gurgen a month or so ago. He was my guest on The Next Step. We interviewed him. We had a chance to talk about the movie. And it gave me a chance to watch the movie again. Man, fascinating. So fascinating. And it's kind of interesting because it's in a time period that is kind of forgotten about. You know, we often talk about the Armenian Genocide, 1915, and how it has affected the Armenian people, not only physically, but the psyche, the emotions, the psychological makeup of the people. But we tend to forget that something just as horrific happened. Yeah, maybe it didn't kill 1.5 million people, but it did as far as killing the psyche and the momentum of the Armenian people, and that was communism. 1920, November 29, I believe it was, 1920, was when the Armenian small republic was absorbed into what was called the Soviet Union. And people of my generation remember this, the Soviet Union. And it was interesting because the other day we were watching Amerigazi, which was life in the Soviet Union, for a young repatriate, a young man who repatriates, goes back on the promise that was given by Stalin. Joseph Stalin had promised that come back to Armenia and we will, you know, you'll have a house, you'll have the means, you'll have a chicken in every pot, and so on and so on, only to come back to find out that there was this tyranny, there was oppression, there was lack of goods and services, and there was a system that was trying to break them of religion, of Christianity, and national identity. Many people went off to Siberia. So now that story many of us knew because we had heard about people who had repatriated from the Middle East. In fact, many of us had family who, after the genocide, had gone to the Middle East and came on Joseph Stalin's plan to return to Armenia. But we didn't know about those Americans. And apparently there were something like 330 Americans who left the comforts of the United States and went back to Armenia on the promise that they would come back and they would have a home. They would have their ancestral home, Armenia, to live and to flourish in. And this was the story of one of those men, namely a man named Charlie, who returns, repatriates, only to find out, wow, it's nothing like what they promised. So we watched this movie together. And, you know, we've been following Michael Gourgian's his successes throughout the world. He's on social media, and we've been following so much of the beautiful things that he's doing at different festivals and the honors that this movie had. But this was unusual because this screening on the day of Reclaim was inside of an audience of all Armenians. I don't know, aside from Armenia, I don't know if he's had that experience of just a pure Armenian audience. And I got to tell you, it was so wild. When the lights came back on, first of all, there were so many of us that were just moved to tears. And there was actually some people who were just kind of trembling in tears. Good tears, good tears. It's not a sad movie by any means. It's a surprising movie, but it's not like you don't walk away just horrified and in sadness. You walk away learning and believing in the human spirit and its ability to survive so many difficult things. So anyway, there we were. And the other thing that we noticed was, as soon as the lights came on, I couldn't even find the words to express my gratitude at that moment that the lights came on. All in all, I said was Michael Gourgian. I invited him up, and the audience that was there that day, we gave him a standing ovation. There was just nothing else that was coming out of us except to say, except gratitude. Thank you for doing this. What a beautiful movie. So anyway, the good news about it is Amerigatsi is going to be available. It's going to be coming out regularly. It's going to be coming out in theaters. And of course, as much as we talk about it, it's very important to get out there and make sure that it gets a good run so people have an opportunity to share in this movie. As far as the Reclaim Conference, it was yet one more voice, the voice that was silenced during the Soviet occupation of Armenia. That was from 1920 to 1991, 70 years. Now, I want to end by also talking about a very important voice that, when we talk about silenced, it's about not only about a voice. Now, think about Jesus says you must articulate yourself. Do you want to be healed? Okay, what if we said yes and then it fell on deaf ears? And that's what I think a book that came out last year, a book that I think we gave so much airtime to, and we're kind of like surprised that it wasn't picked up more than it should have been. And that book, of course, is Building Up the Body of Christ by Bishop Daniel Findikian. Bishop Daniel is currently in Armenia. Just a brilliant, brilliant scholar of the Armenian Church, but also a devout Christian in the sense that he completely, totally believes that transformation of the people can take place through the Holy Church as Jesus Christ has established, and one who believes that we need to build that body of Christ, as St. Paul says, as the first step before we do anything else, especially at this moment. Now, this book is a small book. It's some like 37 pages. Came out last year, 2022. And you know what? Right now, I'll make you this offer. I have a few copies of it left. I mean, I'll put a link today on the show notes to the electronic version, to the audio version of it. But how about an actual copy of the book? Because we gave copies away at the conference, at the Reclaim conference. But I'll make you a deal right now. If you drop me a note, all you need to do is drop a note at feedback@epostle.net and say, I heard you talk about Bishop Fendikian's book. Can you send me a copy? And make sure you send me your address, okay? Because we still do things by mail when it comes to physical copies. Anyway, I'd be happy to send you this book because I think it is essential reading by anyone who's concerned about the plight, not only of the Armenian church, but of churches in general, building up the body of Christ. And we gave copies to everybody who had come to the conference. And the importance of it was the fact that here we had a scholar, a brilliant man, somebody who believes in the message, who produced this book, who went out on a limb and said, this is what the plan should be. This is the direction for our church. And sometimes when you articulate it, even do it properly, it doesn't get heard. So we have the voice of the voiceless, but we also have the voice of the strong that goes unheard. And I think that's a category that we need to acknowledge, that we need to include in there, because that's what happened. Bishop Daniel, a fantastic leader of the Armenian church, and there you go. After 4 years was basically, the message was unheard. 4 years, two of which was COVID-related. He had to bring the people of God out of that situation. And there he was. For all intents and purposes, the entire tenure of his primacy was 2 years. So maybe people just didn't want to hear it. Could be. And so we needed to include that as well. But I'm telling you that there is a message here that we need to grab onto. And unfortunately, I think for many people, it is too late, a little bit too late. But I applaud that he gave it a good shot. So Reclaim a Voice is all about that voice. It's about the different voices that we hear. Sometimes we don't hear. Sometimes we do hear and we don't pay attention to. God's voice is always around. Christ's voice is the same voice that cried out years ago in the manger. The same voice that cried out from the cross. The same voice that cries out to us through the church. And that's that voice that we need to be attentive to. So I think I gave you enough clues over here, what we talked about at the Reclaim. And I'll let you wait until the video comes out and take a look. And if you have questions, be happy to share it with you. All in all, it was a great conference. It's the seventh one we've done, and we're looking forward to keeping it up. I can't thank Archbishop Holmnon Derderian enough, the primate of this diocese, who has really not only backed it, supported it, but has made sure, ensured that Reclaim continues, that this conference becomes a part of the fabric of the Western Diocese, so that people know that we need to start reclaiming those things that were important to us. All right, let me leave it at that and be probably, when I get my voice completely back, I'll do some overdubs of some of the material that we have. But for right now, let's call it a day. Here's Susie to make her announcement.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vosgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you, all of you, for all of the love, the support, and mostly your prayers. I need your prayers, especially this week, going in for a little surgical procedure this Monday evening. I hope to be back with you next Thursday. In the meantime, we're doing a lot of pre-recording for the daily messages that go out on epostle.net. Make sure you connect in with epostle.net. We have Sunday evening Giragi services. It's just a 15-minute, and especially this week is going to be a good one. It's Palm Sunday. Get into your local church Palm Sunday morning, because it's an opportunity for you to connect with the Holy Week, the beginning of Holy Week, one of the most important weeks in the life of a Christian, because it connects you with death and with life in that particular order. Palm Sunday, I've said enough about it. There's some nice videos coming out. You should see them. And if it all goes well, we'll make sure that there's a link on today's show notes, not only to the videos I'm talking about, but to everything else that we talked about as well. Okay, that does it for us for today's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Listen, go to epostle.net. That's really easy to remember. That's apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Let's see, Friday night, I'm going to be with the youth group in Pasadena. Sundays, I will be, for the next few Sundays, I will be on Giragi. That is the epostle.net virtual reality show. It comes out 5 p.m. That's Pacific time. And the reason is I just cannot make it out to a church. Going through a little physical restructuring of the body, okay? Let's say it that way. But like I said, please pray for me, and I look forward to being together shortly. And speaking of that, speaking of good news, in the United States, our income tax day got pushed up 6 months. Wow! Thank you. All right, that does it for our show. On behalf of my producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Vosgen, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.